Well, good evening, everybody. I'm going to have to second Brother Sean whenever he gave a lesson on Wednesday night about being a really, really short lesson. It's pretty tough to get some substance, and there's a lesson that you think of, and you just know that you get up here and you're just going to spill everything out in about 4 seconds, and it's not going to make any sense to anybody. So if you would just pray for me while we try to work through this. If you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to start off in verse 10. I definitely appreciate those songs, Brother Roger. Excellent, excellent songs. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 10, says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much once again for this day, this time that we have. I pray, Lord, that your word would be well spoken to the people here, Lord, that we can apply your principles that you've given us in your word. Lord, may we live changed lives, that we may grow in grace and the knowledge of you. I pray that you'd help us to leave here with a clear vision of what we need to do, what we need to change in our life. And Lord, I pray that everyone would be encouraged tonight. Lord, we thank you once again for your son and his salvation that he provides to us through the cross. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to work through these verses here a little bit and kind of get into this. Starting in verse 10, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me." Paul is the writer here in for his own testimony, his own life. God's grace was poured out upon him. He was somebody who persecuted the church, did a lot of wicked things, thought he was doing that which is wise. But on the road to Damascus, God converted him and he was saved. And God poured out his grace upon him. And then he did something with that grace. That he went, and in the next phrase he says, "As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation." One thing that we need to understand is that we can't lay a foundation if we don't have the foundation ourselves. And we're going to find here in a second that foundation is Jesus Christ. That foundation is salvation. And salvation is through faith and repentance. Faith in Jesus and repentance towards God. That is how we receive eternal life. That is how we are saved. That is the basic foundation of every Christian's life. The fact that we are trusting in Christ and him alone. Not in ourselves, not in our flesh, but in him. He is the foundation. And if we are to be wise, if we are to be wise master builders, then we are going to build upon that foundation. We're not going to build on another foundation, and we'll find out that there's no other foundation. He says, "And another buildeth thereon." And so the idea here is the person who proclaims the gospel that you hear the moment that you're saved, that you hear the gospel preached, and you respond to it. And so whether that's a preacher, or that's a missionary, or a street preacher, or whoever, or a family member, or a friend who shares the gospel with you, and you respond in faith in Jesus Christ and repenting of your sins, that's the foundation. And now you are the one who is the builder, right? We have the messenger is the wise master builder. He's the one that lays the foundation, and the foundation is Christ. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the one that we can trust in. He's our chief rock. He's everything that we could ever hope in. He's the only thing that we can hope in. And at that point, then we start building upon that foundation. It says, "But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And that's kind of the title of this sermon, if you will, to take heed, to pay attention to what we're doing. Because everybody here is building on a foundation. If you are saved, if you are a born-again believer, and you have that foundation of Christ, you are building on that foundation. And verse 11, it says that, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Once again, that's just, he is the only way. He, John 14, 6, he said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." He is it. That's all we have. And that's, God himself, the creator himself, is our hope. And there can be nothing greater than that. There are several times in scripture where God, in the culture, you would always swear by something greater. And Jesus himself swore by, before he could swear by nothing greater, he swore by himself. His promises were based on the fact that he is who he is. And there's no other foundation that can be laid. We have no other hope. "Now if any man build upon this foundation," in verse 12, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble." Well, these are the works that we're going to do. After we're saved, after we're born again, after we repent of our sins and put our faith in Christ, we then start this building process. And we're putting stuff on that foundation. We're putting gold, silver, precious stones, or we're putting wood, hay, and stubble. All right, and the point of this is we're going to see this in verse 13, that every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So there's going to be a day we're going to have to answer for our actions as Christians, as saved people. What did we do with the foundation that Christ gave us? What did we build upon it? Did we build anything that's going to last? Did we build a hut that is going to be tried by fire? That's something that we need to pay attention to. We need to consider with our daily actions, with our daily life. Are we getting better and better? Are we building more and more extravagant structure on this foundation? Are we doing the things that we should be doing? Are we not doing the things we shouldn't be doing? Do we have the right heart in the things we are to be doing? There's many things that can go one way or the other with whether or not they're gold or it's wood. On the surface, it may look like that's a golden work, that's a good work. But if we're doing it out of spite, we're doing it out of the wrong heart. God knows; He's the discerner of the hearts of man, and ultimately that work is going to be wood, and it's going to be burned up. And He says it that everything, every man's work is going to be made manifest. And what that means is that it's going to be made known to everybody. Okay, so we might think that we're doing good with our sin over here in the dark, right? Or we might be doing some good things, but well, we got a prideful heart. We're doing this out of pride. We're doing this out of being a pleaser of men. We're accomplishing, seemingly so, accomplishing good things in the church. We might be doing a lot of work. We might be doing a lot of things. But if we're doing it out of the wrong heart, that's going to be made manifest. It's like I'm a pretty good liar. I'm a pretty good faker. Like I can look pretty good on the outside, and my mind and my heart not be right. And on this day, that stuff's going to be made manifest. It's going to be shown. And so we need to take heed. We need to pay attention to this, and that we might be able to hide it. I might be able to hide it from my wife, but the reality is I can't hide it from God. And then it's going to be made manifest on this particular day. And in verse 14, he says, "If any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." And in verse 15, "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So the idea here is this fire is going to consume this foundation. Remember, the foundation is something that cannot be moved. The foundation is the standard. When a tornado goes through a town and knocks over a bunch of houses, that's how they measure the intensity of that tornado, is how much of the foundation, how much of the slab is still visible. If it's a clean slab, they rate it as an F5. It's a big tornado, very powerful. But the fact of the matter is that slab is still there, right? And that's what we see in verse 15. That man himself shall be saved. The foundation is Christ. We cannot take away our salvation, our foundation, which is Christ. You can't take that away. It is eternal. When you're born again, you inherit eternal life. You have it. You possess it. It'll never go away. It's eternal. Regardless of what you do after that point. However, we do need to take heed, right? Because it says here in verse 15 that if we build on this foundation work of wood, hay, and stubble, if we do that, if our work is built out of this substandard building material, it's going to be burned up, and we're going to suffer loss. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, but I don't want to suffer loss. You know, I'm going to be happy to get to heaven. And a lot of times that's we're going to be happy with that. We're going to say that, we think that. I'm just looking to make it. It's kind of sometimes the attitude that we have. But the reality is that we want to go and we want to have works that are lasted, that can persevere through the fire. That we can when we get this reward that it says in verse 14 that we're going to have, that we can turn around and lay it at Christ's feet. Like, that's the point. Now, sometimes we want to think about, well, if I want a reward for doing good or whatever, we think, well, that's prideful, right? Now, you think you deserve a reward. That's something that somebody who is very prideful wants. That's not a good thing to want a reward. But in this case, it is something that we should desire. We should strive after. We should strive after those rewards that we get in heaven because of the fact we turn around and we give it to Christ, and it's for His glory. That's what it's all about. And so in Scripture, we see two different builders. I'm going to take a couple of guys here, Demas and John Mark. These two guys, they were saved individuals, and they were kind of heading in two different directions. John Mark started out not so good. Demas started out pretty good, and they kind of passed each other, going in different directions. And we're going to kind of go through this here a little bit. But there are three categories of Christianity, if you will, that I see in my own life. Number one is a rotten sort. And the definition, obviously everybody knows what rotten is, right? You get a rotten fruit, boy, it stinks. One of the worst things, the worst smells in the world is a rotten cup of milk. You know, if you've had kids with little sippy cups, like it gets stuffed under the bed and then you find it and you open it and you're just like, that's awful. this is something that's a very poor quality. Something that stinks, doesn't do anybody any good. Many times when things are rotten, it's a detriment to what it affects, what its purpose is. And so 2 Timothy 4:10 says that, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia." And the point here is Demas forsook working with Paul, and he loved this present world, and he took off. He left him in the middle of the work. And this is something that that we can do sitting right here in the church house. We can be present, but we can be absent in the actual work, right? And so we have to be careful, once again, of our motivations, of why are we here. We don't want to be rotten, because a lot of times when we've got that attitude and we're in that condition, we're in that state, we're putrid. You know, we stink. We're a detriment to the work of the church. We're a detriment to what other people are trying to accomplish. And then in Acts 15:38, it says, "But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, talking about John Mark, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work." And so this was John Mark, and he started out kind of rotten. He kind of went halfway with them and then turned tail and ran. He didn't finish the work with them. There's something about perseverance that we need to have. We once again, we don't need to be rotten. We need to be of good quality. We need to be making sure that we are not rotten, that we are doing the things that we need to be doing, and kind of reject the gravity of the flesh, if you will, that pulls us down. The sin nature that we have to deal with every day. We need to get discipline over that flesh, and we need to really focus and take up our cross daily, to die to ourselves daily, in order to not be rotten. The second characteristic, if you will, of Christianity that I see in my own life is being regular. And a definition of regular is constituted, conducted, scheduled, or done in conformity with established or prescribed usages, rules, or discipline. In Colossians 4:14, it says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. There was nothing extra added about Demas at this point. And you'll see in the next verse, he started out pretty good, and then he was kind of working his way down as Scripture goes along. But at this point, he was a regular guy. He was just kind of thrown in there, just kind of mentioned. You know, he was doing the work. He was showing up. He was coming to the meetings. He was kind of doing some of the things he ought to be doing. You know, not necessarily doing anything bad, not causing any trouble. But he was just a regular guy, just doing the regular. Sunday morning in Sunday school, Bill Dillon talked about sometimes being in a rut is a good thing. It keeps you heading in the right direction. And sometimes being the regular Christian, that's what we need to be. You know, if we're coming out of rotten, we need to be regular. I mean, it's all about taking the next step, trying to get better. And if we're coming out of this, sometimes a rut really keeps us out of trouble. I kind of got this thought of, not rocking the boat. That's kind of what a regular guy does, you know. And me, if you guys know me very well, I'm the kind of guy that likes to get in there and really get that boat to rocking. But sometimes it's not a good idea if that's the lifeboat and you're out in the middle of the ocean, right? And if you fall out, you're done for. And sometimes in our Christian walk, that's the condition that we're in. We're in a lifeboat, and we just want to make it another day. We want to do our best just to make it through this day, make it through this hard time, make it through this sickness, make it through this whatever, in this rough season that we're in, and just to make it to the other side. Now, the idea here, obviously, you don't want to just go out in the middle of the ocean in a lifeboat and stay there, right? The idea is to get to shore. The idea is to get in a better condition, right? And so we don't want to just stay in this regular condition, in this normal, we're going through the routine. Now, so like I said, sometimes that routine is good. Sometimes staying with that discipline is a good thing. You know, if you've got a routine down, a lot of times it'll keep you out of trouble. Sometimes, though, we need to make an effort to extend that routine and start to branch out and to do more, which brings me to the third characteristic, which is being remarkable. And the definition of remarkable is worthy of being or likely to be noticed, especially as being uncommon or extraordinary. And Philippians 3:17 says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample." Right? So the idea here is to mark individuals who are remarkable, right? And these people are the people who are doing what they ought to be doing. They've got a heart for certain things. Now, everybody's got a gift that differ from individual to individual. Some people have different hearts for different things. And whatever our gift is, there's certain things, obviously, that we need to obey, which is our basic tenets of Christianity, of reading our Bible, of being faithful in prayer, being faithful to evangelize. There are some certain things that we should do, but there's other things that certain people have. Some people are more emotional. They've got a heart for the lost, and they really, their hearts break for them. Some people are more analytical. They're more of a filing type of individual, and other people like me are more disorganized and more passionate about certain things. And it takes all of us working together, right? We're the body of Christ. We're a body. Well, all the parts join fitly together. Like we all have a purpose together, and we have to work together in order to accomplish the goal. And the goal is the furtherance of the kingdom, to see souls saved, to see disciples made. That's the whole purpose. That's why we're here. And ultimately, all those things comes under the banner of for His glory, is to give God the glory, not necessarily just for us, but for Him. But in our working, in our daily life of doing this church life, of being a good Christian, and striving to gain discipline over ourselves, over our flesh, there are people that we should mark, that we should pay attention to. You know, we have really good examples in Scripture. We've got guys like Paul. We've got guys like Timothy. John Mark is a good one. He started out not so good, and Demas is the opposite. You know, we don't need to be like him. So in Philemon 1:24, it says, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, and he's, qualifies all those guys. He calls them my fellow laborers. How remarkable is that for Paul to call you a fellow laborer? There were times he talked about people, silversmith or coppersmith, I can't remember which one it was, that he said, you know, he was a hindrance to the work. You know, but these guys were fellow laborers. They were working alongside him, and he was enough to call them his fellows. They were that hardworking of a people. They were that remarkable. We can pay attention to those guys. And Demas at this time was looking pretty good, even though he kind of went the way of the world. And then in 2 Timothy 4:11 it says, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." How amazing is that? He's profitable. He went from Paul got in a fight with Barnabas about this, and now we're not going to take him. And they ended up splitting up and going on two different trips, going two different ways, because Paul did not want to take John Mark with him. Didn't want to happen. But now, look at this. John Mark didn't stay rotten. He didn't stay regular. But now he's profitable to the ministry, to Paul's ministry. Like one of the greatest ministries that we can look back in all of Christian history and say, Paul's ministry and what he did, the missionary trips that he took, was extremely remarkable. And he considered Mark to be profitable. I mean, that's something that if we could get Paul to consider us profitable, you know, let's take the standard down a little bit from Christ and just look at Paul's standard. You know, would Paul consider us profitable? Much less Christ? I mean, would we even meet Paul's standard? I mean, if we like to lower the standard a lot so we can kind of feel good about ourselves. But, I mean, sometimes I look at myself and I wouldn't even meet up to anybody's standard. You know, I don't even meet up to my own standard, which is about the lowest you can go. But John Mark, he had gotten to this point where he was worthy of being noticed. Why else would Paul put that in there, in the letter? Why wouldn't he just say, bring him with you? He said, qualified it. He said, for he is profitable to me. I find that just amazing that Paul considered him so valuable. But there are some things that we need to do. We need to mark those people in our church who are faithful in the work. We need to pay attention to them. We need to respect them. And we need to follow them. We need to encourage them. We don't need to be tearing them down. We need to essentially to do what they do. I mean, if they're doing a good job, then we need to do what they're doing. If they're passionate about something and they're working hard, let's link arms with them and let's work hard with them. We can mark those people that are not one of our congregation or not even a part of our association of churches. There's some people that we can look at today, some contemporaries of ours. We got family members that aren't part of this church, might not be a part of this association, that are very influential. They're very remarkable individuals. They're faithful in the work to evangelize. They're faithful in prayer. They love the Word of God and they study and they challenge. There are friends that are the same way. There are contemporary preachers, guys like John MacArthur and Paul Chappell. Kerry Schmidt, there's a lot of guys that we can look at and they do a really good job. And you don't have to agree with everybody on every single little detail for them to be a good example to you. John MacArthur, there's some things I don't agree with him, but his love for the Word of God is unsurpassed. He takes it to a very high level. He puts it at a very high level. And those types of people that we want to mark those people. Because this world is full of preachers who don't take the Word of God very serious. And we need to mark those people who do and pay attention to them. They got other ministry workers. Guys like Todd Friel, Wretched Radio. He's been a huge influence on my life. Once again, there's some things that you're not going to agree with, but that's okay because he's about evangelizing. He's about taking the Scripture serious. He's a good influence for us. Another guy is Ray Comfort. I don't know how many of you guys have heard Way of the Master, but you can look it up on, I think it's Living Waters. Look it up on YouTube. He's a great, great resource for us to go and watch. He does a lot of street preaching and one-on-one evangelism, and is excellent for us to he talks to a wide range of people. you know, probably a wider range than we're going to experience here in Muldrow in our lives. From atheists to Scientology people, I mean, all over, from one side to the other. And how do you engage those people? How do you engage them with the scriptures? How do you engage them with the gospel? And guys like him are good for us to mark, to note, and to follow. We go back even further in time. We go back to the heroes of the faith. Now, this is going to take a little bit of work to do, right? Reading and studying some of these guys, it's convicting, embarrassing to read of the faith of some of these guys. How many of you guys have heard of George Mueller? Anybody heard of George Mueller? No? Okay, this guy, he ran an orphanage. And his motto every day was, "I have too much to do, so I must pray." His faith was so far anything that we can really understand. And he just find a book about him. There's a couple of stories where they had a need for that orphanage. They had no food, no milk, and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And what broke down in front of the orphanage? It was a wagon full of milk. You know, and then there they had the milk. And then the baker come down the street and said, "Hey, I figured there's a big order. They canceled on me. I need to get rid of this bread. I want to throw it away. Figure you guys can eat it." You know, the faith that he had in God was phenomenal. And it's convicting for us to read about these guys and understand, hey, man, they trusted in God. And we need to mark those guys. We need to study them, and we need to emulate them. Charles Spurgeon, great old preacher. His heart on a lot of things was really good. I mean, he's got a lot of quotes that we can read. He wrote a lot of stuff. We can read what he wrote. His view on Scripture, once again, is very high. Somebody we can take an example from. We can listen to. There's another missionary, Eric Little, hero of the faith. He was an Olympic runner. He wouldn't run on Sundays. He was viewed as a traitor to his country because he wouldn't run an Olympic race on Sunday because he respected God and his day. And ended up serving the Lord in China, doing a great work there. You got Corrie ten Boom helping Jews and Christians in Germany during World War II. You got Mary Slessor, Gladys Allward, other great missionaries, women that were just fantastic, did a great work. And there are lots of books out there that we can read about these people and see their faith. We can see their lives. We can read their diaries. We can read their journals. We know their thoughts. We know their daily disciplines. We know their daily routines. Guys like Nate Saint and Jim Elliott, missionaries that were killed in Ecuador in the 50s. I mean, you don't have to go that far to see some of these guys who are heroes of the faith. And they valued the gospel over their own lives. And these are people that we need to be an example to us. These are people that we need to follow and be like. Because honestly, if it was good enough for them, I mean, it's going to be good enough for me. It's got to be. I'm not anywhere near them. And it was good enough for them. These people, once again, are worth studying and emulating their faithfulness. From the range of people that are in these pews tonight to those great heroes that we aspire to be like. We need to mark those people, and we need to be like them. Because ultimately what we're going to do, the whole point of this, is going back to our text. We are building on that foundation. You know, if I want to build a really nice house, I'm probably not going to come up with it myself and design it myself, come out with the layout and the blueprints myself. I might come out with, like, I want this room here and that room there. No, I'm going to go to like a guy like Sean who knows how to build a house, right? And so I have the opportunity to look at these men who have died and wrote, either wrote many things or many things are written about these guys. That's how you build a lasting structure on that foundation. That's the reason for this, right? Because we're building on that foundation, and we, on that day when our structure is put to the test, when the fire is laid to what we've put down there, what is going to be remaining? And we need to take heed. We need to pay attention to this, because this is, it's a scripture. If scripture is true, then that's what we're going to face. And if we've been a poor steward of this foundation, then we're going to suffer loss. And it's something that we need to be very, very, very careful of. When I was studying for this, I kind of got this idea of a blank foundation. I think they just poured a slab down the road here. And so you can kind of get this this visual, right? You got a foundation, you got the stub for the plumbing sticking up out of the concrete. and then you got a guy in a lawn chair. You guys seen those little plastic lawn chairs? It's kind of got like the three, like you fold it out like here, and that's like the back. And then you got the other part that folds down, that's your footrest. I just kind of got this image of somebody who's exhibiting the poor quality builder, who's got his shorts and his flip-flops, and he's got his big glass of sweet tea, and he's got his sunglasses on and a hat, and he's sitting in that lawn chair, just sipping the tea, not doing anything, getting paid by the hour, you know? Like, that's a pretty rotten dude. Or do we need to be like the faithful worker, the faithful framer, who's out there in 110-degree heat, or the driving snow? Some of the worst conditions. These guys are faithful workers. And who are we going to be like? Are we going to be lazy, or are we going to be hardworking? We need to strive for excellence. We need to strive to be remarkable. Because ultimately, we don't want to be known as that rotten guy, right? And ultimately, we don't, you know, to a certain extent, we don't want to be known as a regular guy. You know, obviously, we want to be known as somebody who can be relied upon, who's faithful in the work. But at the bottom line, when it comes down to thinking about our works being tried as by fire, we want to have reward. We want to be able to give God glory. We want to be able to return that to Christ. And like I mentioned throughout, I see all three of these conditions in my daily walk. Sometimes I'm rotten and I stink and I ruin everything that I touch. And then we've been studying through Jeremiah, you know, in Sunday school. And in chapter 2, verse 22, it says, "For though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God." And sometimes I love this present world more than Christ, and I stink. And sometimes it don't matter how much soap I use, I stink. Sometimes I settle into regularity. I get complacent. I follow what is acceptable and try not to rock the boat too much. Once again, sometimes it's a good thing to be regular if we're trying to get out of being old stink bait. But we're always, once again, striving for excellence, striving to be remarkable. Now, other times I feel very satisfied with my personal efforts to grow. I'm excited about what I read. My prayer life is flourishing. I'm taking advantage of opportunities to evangelize. And I have discipline over my flesh. And the idea here for sanctification, right, it's a process from the moment of getting that foundation, is trying to be consistent in our Christian life. We want to reach that point of being remarkable, and we want to stay there. We want to work. We want to be consistent in that that true faithfulness. We want to be regular of being remarkable. Like when people think of us, no, we're not just some regular guy over here, but we're striving. Be known. I'm not saying you got to be extravagant. You got to get in front of everybody and preach all the time, or get up and sing a bunch of specials, or whatever. But people can be known as a prayer warrior. And he could be a quiet guy in a back pew, and he could be known as a faithful door knocker, and a guy who prays for those people who he talks to, prays for those houses that he knocks on the door and nobody answers. There's a bunch of different ways that we can go about this. And once again, God has given us different gifts, but we need to be faithful in those gifts. We need to be good stewards of those gifts. So once again, remember, we're building on that foundation. We need to work hard. Repent if we get rotten. We need to reinvigorate ourselves if we get regular. And we need to remain remarkable. After all, it's for His glory. It's not for ours. And so that'll conclude this, if we want to...